Welcome to BioTime, a podcast to help you pass high school biology and understand the science of life. My name is Chris, and I'm your host today. Hey guys, so today we will be discussing the four macromolecules: carbohydrates, lipids, proteins, and nucleic acids. We're going to be talking about their structures, functions, and applications. And in order to make sure that we can understand these molecules, we are actually going to start with some background, which is going to cover dehydration synthesis, hydrolysis, polymers, monomers, and really just all of the important background knowledge required to understand macromolecules. All right, so let's get right into it. A great place to start would be monomers and polymers, as these are the basic building blocks of macromolecules. So a monomer is a singular unit that, when combined with many other monomers, results in something called a polymer. And with enough polymers in the right shape and form, you can get a macromolecule, which is our main topic today. And a way to visualize this is through Legos. Each individual Lego piece can represent a monomer, while multiple Lego pieces combined will end up with a polymer. And we take a bunch of these pieces of Legos that we put together, which are polymers, and we connect all these polymers together, you get one big final creation, which is a carbohydrate, a protein, a nucleic acid, or whatever macromolecule you want it to be. And it's great that we now understand that monomers can connect together to form polymers, but it's also important to understand how they are able to join together in the first place. And this is done through a process called dehydration synthesis. This is the name of the process that will allow two molecules to connect together. And the key word, the most important part of this process, is water. For AP Bio, the complex chemistry-related understanding of this process is not so important, so I'm going to spare you the pain of going through that. But the long story short is that when two molecules come together, a water molecule is lost in the process. And this really is just a major thing that you need to know for AP Bio, but make sure you remember the water molecule component of dehydration synthesis. And basically, so once this water molecule leaves, you're left with two joined molecules. I find this pretty easy to remember, as the term dehydration synthesis has the word hydration in it, so I immediately think water, and in the synthesis part of the term, it shows me that two molecules are synthesizing or joining together. And there's another word for dehydration synthesis. I don't think it's as common, but some people do refer to it as condensation. Alrighty, so now that we have talked about how molecules are joined together, let's cover how molecules break apart. And the term for this process, where molecules break apart, it's called hydrolysis. And it's actually quite intuitive, as basically it's the opposite of dehydration synthesis, where, you know, two things are coming together. Alright, so when two molecules break apart, a molecule of water is used up. And what's happening is that basically a hydrogen, water is made up of two hydrogens and one oxygen. So basically one hydrogen is going to go to one molecule, while the other molecule is going to gain the other hydrogen and an oxygen. So we can see where this H2O is split up and where the actual atoms themselves are going. I do also want to note that dehydration synthesis and hydrolysis differ in terms of the usage of energy. Dehydration synthesis uses up energy as we're combining two molecules, while hydrolysis will release energy as two molecules are being broken up. And now that we have a background knowledge behind the things that we need to know in order to understand macromolecules, let's get into the four types. And we're going to first start off with carbohydrates. So in our bodies, carbs serve as a short-term fuel / energy. And that's why athletes in endurance sports, such as long-distance running, like to do something called carboloading, where they eat a whole bunch of carbs to gain energy. That's why you can often see athletes eating a lot of like pasta or spaghetti, things like that, just really carb-rich foods. Anyways, so carbs are made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. And a key characteristic of this structure is that there's a 2-to-1 ratio of hydrogen to oxygen atoms. And this just simply means that the number of hydrogens is usually double the number of oxygen atoms. And this is a useful characteristic to remember, as if you're ever to just look at a picture of something and you notice that there's a 2-to-1 ratio of hydrogen to oxygen, then you'll be able to identify the molecule as a carbohydrate. Okay, so let's move on. Carbs can exist as monosaccharides, disaccharides, and polysaccharides. Monosaccharides are the singular units of sugar, and examples of these would be glucose, sucrose, fructose, and there's a lot of. And something that I wanted to point out is that you can often identify a carb by the suffix, as they tend to always end in -ose. And, you know, we can see that through glucose, sucrose, fructose. They all usually end in that same sound, so that's also a way of identifying them when you just see the word. Anyways, disaccharides are when two monosaccharides join together through dehydration synthesis. And finally, polysaccharides, which are the macromolecules we're mainly talking about, they're basically just many, many monosaccharides joined together to form one big thing. And polysaccharides are important for many reasons, and we can see one of their applications in plants. So if you were to go outside and look at some plants, you'd notice that most of them are probably not flopped on the ground and just lying flat, and most of them are rigid and standing up straight or straight to a certain extent. And the only reason that they have this strength and the rigidity to do so is because of a polysaccharide called cellulose. So cellulose is located in the cell walls of plants, and it's what helps give them that structural strength and rigidity that allows for them to remain in the position that they need to. And as for an application in humans, because we just looked at plants, we can look at another type of polysaccharide called glycogen. And glycogen is, it gives us energy. There's no way of getting out of this one. Glycogen is stored in our liver and skeletal muscles. So when an athlete begins to run or sprint, our body's immediately going to kick in the glycogen and that we have stored up as energy, and it's going to use it to power whatever activities we're doing. Alrighty, now on to our second macromolecule, which is lipids. Lipids cover a wide array of compounds such as fats, oils, waxes, and steroids. The building blocks of lipids are fatty acids and glycerols. For AP Bio, there is no need to waste your time diving into the deep end on the details of these fatty acids and glycerols. I don't think that we should waste our time on that. But if you do want to learn more about them, the internet's there. Lipids serve as a form of long-term energy. This contrast from carbs, as we talked about earlier, that carbs take on the role of short-term energy. So we're just seeing the contrast between a long-term use of energy, which is lipids, and short-term energy, which is carbs. And while the role of a lipid as an energy producer is important, one of its vital roles is actually in the membrane of cells. You've probably heard the term phospholipid bilayer many times, and the reason why the word lipid is in it is because the membrane of cells is basically just made up of a whole bunch of phospholipids. But realize I said phospholipids and not lipids, so there is a difference. A phospholipid contains two fatty acid tails attached to a glycerol backbone. And the importance of this structure is that if you were to throw a bunch of phospholipids into, let's just say a bowl of water, they would automatically self-assemble themselves into this double-layered structure, with their tails, with their fatty acid tails pointed together, and not letting any water pass through between them. When discussing fats, which are a type of lipid, it is important to make the distinction between saturated and unsaturated fats. Saturated fats are the unhealthy kind. They're solid at room temperature, and when consumed, lead to bad things such as heart disease. And these unhealthy fats lead up to your arteries getting clogged, it raises your cholesterol levels, along with a whole lot of other bad problems. These fats are basically come from things like butters, and there are some oils that are also bad for you. On the other hand, we have unsaturated fats. and these are the healthy kinds. You can find these from plants, and they're often liquid at room temperature. Some examples would be, you know, avocados through olive oil, nuts. These often contain unsaturated fats. Alrighty, let's move on to our third macromolecule, which is proteins, and this is quite an important one. Proteins are made up of amino acids, and amino acids are made up of a carboxyl group, an amine group, and an R group. I know this kind of sounds like gibberish, so it's not very important to fully understand the details of the structure, but just remember that, you know, when an R group is mentioned, you're talking about an amino acid. So the largest part of AP Bio really is not to understand these structures to a depth, but it's more of, you know, having the general gist of it and being mainly, I feel like the most that you'll ever be asked is really more on the identification side of things. Anyways, so moving on, a chain of amino acids results in a polypeptide. And sometimes just one polypeptide is enough to complete a protein, but some other more complex proteins could require multiple polypeptides to be together. And how these polypeptides are bent or shaped determines their function. This process is known as protein folding. And I find protein folding quite amazing, as it's difficult to comprehend how our bodies are able to just take these chains of amino acids and somehow shape them in a way that they're capable of doing whatever our body needs them to do. And it's important to know just how important the shape of a protein is, as even the slightest mishap can lead to disaster, and this can be seen through diseases such as mad cow disease or Parkinson's. The purpose of a protein is to provide cell structure, speed up chemical reactions, send chemicals. There's really a lot of functions to a protein. And proteins are found all over our body, whether it be in our hair, our nails, hormones, enzymes, you name it. And now on to our fourth and final macromolecule, which is nucleic acids. The two types are DNA and RNA. Nucleotides are the building blocks that, when connected together, help to form the complex structures of DNA or RNA. A nucleotide is made up of a 5-carbon sugar, a nitrogenous base, and a phosphate group. And the sugar can either be deoxyribose or ribose, and that's where the DNA versus the RNA component comes in. The nitrogenous base can either be adenine, cytosine, guanine, or thymine. I do recommend that you take the time to memorize the structure of a nucleotide, as I think it will come in handy. As for the function of a nucleotide, they serve as carriers of hereditary information. When they link up to form DNA, we can see DNA in the nucleus being used to give instructions on how to code a protein and other functions in our body. If you want to dive deeper into DNA, we actually have an in-depth podcast on DNA in prokaryotes and eukaryotes. RNA also plays a significant role, taking, for example, messenger RNA, ribosomal RNA, and transfer RNA. Without all of these types of RNA, we would all be dead right now, as there wouldn't be any proteins being made in our bodies. So it's really a very significant role that DNA and RNA are playing in our bodies. And an important thing to know about nucleotides is that a nucleotide chain has directionality. And that's why you're always hearing people say, oh, 5 prime to 3 prime, 3 prime to 5 prime. And it's basically saying that nucleotides are always added on the 3 prime end of a nucleotide chain. So that tells us that we're always going to be growing a nucleotide chain from the 5 prime to the 3 prime direction. And now that we have gone over everything, let's have a quick recap. Remember that monomers are the building blocks of macromolecules, and that many monomers lead to one big chain called polymers. These basic building blocks are what allow for macromolecules to exist. And since we do need a way to connect these monomers together, we need to understand dehydration synthesis. This is the process where two monomers lose a molecule of water and end up being connected together. Hydrolysis is the exact opposite of this process, as we are breaking apart two molecules and we use up a molecule of water in the process as it's being absorbed. So now let's quickly review our four macromolecules. The first macromolecule is carbohydrates. Carbs are made up of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, and there's usually a 2-to-1 ratio of hydrogen atoms to oxygen atoms. So that's going to be useful if you're ever trying to identify a carbohydrate. Carbs also serve as short-term fuel in our body. It's important to note the forms of carbohydrates as we can see them through cellulose, which supports plant cell walls, and glycogen, which is stored in skeletal muscles and the liver for energy. The second macromolecule is lipids. Lipids consist of glycerols and fatty acids. A notable form of them is in saturated and unsaturated fats. Just remember that saturated is the unhealthy form, while unsaturated is the healthy form. Additionally, remember that phospholipids are what form the lipid bilayer in our cellular membranes, as those are really important to just life in general. In contrast to carbs, lipids serve as long-term energy. The third type of macromolecule is proteins. Proteins deal with growth and repair, cell signaling, chemical reactions, and many other functions. The building blocks that make up proteins are amino acids, and many amino acids together form polypeptide chains. And when these polypeptide chains are bent in the correct shape, they are able to serve as proteins. The final macromolecule is the nucleic acid. Nucleic acids are formed from nucleotides, and when many nucleotides come together, you get these chains that end up forming DNA or RNA, which help to carry hereditary data. And without DNA or RNA, our bodies simply wouldn't be able to code proteins or give cell instructions how to function. That wraps it up for this podcast on macromolecules. Thanks for listening, everyone.